Calling the meeting to order. This is the East County Board of Zoning Adjustments, and it's Thursday, June 26, 2025. And we're gonna go ahead and do roll call.
Vice Chair Susan.
Here.
Member in-law.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. And we're going to waive the Pledge of Allegiance today because we do not have a flag to pledge to. So at this point, I'd like to open it up to open forum for any items that are not on the agenda. Anything in the staff? Nobody's online? And nobody in the room. Thank you. Field trip report.
There are no field trip reports.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll move on to item F1, the Flynn Road item.
Good afternoon, Vice Chair Souza and Member Imhoff. My name is Michael Peters with Alameda County Code Enforcement. Agenda item number one is in regards to the property located at 9782 Glen Road. South Livermore, California, 94550. APN number 099B-5600-2-6.
One moment, please. We're trying to share our screen. We're having technical difficulties.
Alrighty. Violation of Alameda County Zoning Ordinance Soil Importing Ordinance 17.06, 17.66, 17.54.010, and 17.02.130. Soil importing onto the parcel without administrative use permit and or a conditional use permit. The pertinent facts are as follows. On June 4th, 2024, staff conducted an initial site visit and observed trucks entering the property to deposit soil. On June 4th, 2024, staff prepared a soil importing violation letter that was sent to the property address and a mailing address by regular and certified mail. On June 10th, staff received an email from Development Geotechnical Business regarding a project that the property owner was proposing for his property. On September 6, 2024, staff conducted a site inspection. The violation was still present. On September 6, 2024, staff prepared a fines and fees letter that was sent to the mailing address and the property address by regular and certified mail. On September 27, 2024, staff received a letter from the property owner stating, "We will be stopping the import of excess soil activities into my property. On October 15th, 2024, staff received an email from Micro Resorts and Re-Engineer, a development geotechnical company, stating on November 1st, 2024, the company would submit a proposal for the proposed project to the planning department. On November 13th, 2024, staff conducted a site inspection. The violation was still present. Staff observed four trucks entering the property on November 18th, 2024.
Hold on, Michael. But I think it would be good of the everyone involved that you state that the fines that are being assessed to them, or there's numbers
at each step.
Yes,
at each step. So everybody's
on
the same page.
Each time a vehicle, each time a truck enters the property, it's a zoning violation. So Per truck, it's $1,000 per truck, plus the reinspection fee, plus the admin fee, $283 and $286 and $193. To date, I can go down when I get done with the staff report. To date, I can give you the total.
Total.
Okay, so let me see here. November 18th, staff prepared a fines and fees letter that was sent to the property address and mailing address by regular and certified mail. On November 26, 2024, staff conducted a site inspection. The violation was still present. Staff observed four trucks entering the property. Between the dates of 11/27/2024 and January 21st of 2025, staff conducted site inspections. And subsequently, there were four trucks entering the property on each one of those site inspections.
Well, that's on December 4th. You have December 4th, 14th down. I mean, there's, right?
Pardon?
You have dates like the 14th and...
Yes.
Yeah.
From 11/26.
December 4th. January 14th. Go ahead.
Yes. January 21st, 2025, okay. Staff conducted site inspection. The violation was still present. Staff observed seven trucks entering the property. On January 23rd, 2025, staff prepared a fines and fees letter that was sent to the property address and mailing address by regular and certified mail. On January 2024, staff prepared a notice of administrative hearing and mailed it to the property address and a mailing address by regular and certified mail. On February 20th, 2025, staff and representatives from the grading department, that's Alameda County Grading Department, met with the property owner and his project manager, engineer, at the property to tour the site. On February 21st, 2025, staff prepared it and sent a notice of cancellation of the administrative hearing, mailed to the property address and the site address and the mailing address by regular certified mail. On February 24th, 2025, staff received an email from the development company acknowledging the cancellation of the hearing. On February 26th, 2025, staff conducted a site inspection and the violation was present. Staff observed five trucks entering the property. On February 27, 2025, staff prepared a fines and fees letter to be sent to the property address and the mailing address by regular certified mail. On March 11, 2025, staff was made aware of the planning department by the planning department of the submittal of plans for the proposed development at the property. On March 21, 2025, planning department denied the project proposal for the development at the property. On May 15th, 2025, staff conducted a site inspection and the violation was still present. Staff observed 13 trucks entering the property. On May 15th, 2025, staff prepared a fines and fees letter to be sent to the property address and mailing address by regular and certified mail. On May 30th, I corrected that because it says May 26th, 2025, staff conducted a site inspection and the violation was still present. Staff observed seven trucks entering the property. On May 30th, 2025, staff prepared a fines and fees letter to be sent to the property address and the mailing address by regular and certified mail. On June 6th, 2025, staff prepared an administrative hearing notice sent to the property address and the mailing address by regular and certified mail. On 6/11/2025, staff prepared an amended administrative hearing notice that was sent to the property address and the mailing address by regular and certified mail. Previous violations. There were previous violations for other violations, but not soil importing. So no. Property contact with property owner, yes. The property is not vacant. Staff recommendation is to declare that the property is in violation of Alameda County zoning ordinance, soil importing, and therefore a public nuisance or require abatement within 30 days and or continue fines and fees. The resolution that I have, the new one, the draft resolution would also be it further resolved, the property owner would hire a licensed professional for full evaluation and site testing of the site, including a written report with detailed analysis and recommendation for abatement procedure to be provided to the county within 30 days, which will be subject to review by the county. The report shall also include the following: determination of the general area and volume of the imported soil and fill, a geotechnical investigation for soil stability and safety, method of abatement, and environmental assessment testing for soil fill and cleanliness, free of hazardous chemicals and materials. Number three, upon review and confirmation of the method of abatement by county, owner shall immediately commence and expeditiously complete all required abatement actions. Number four, obtain all required permits and approval from the county and other agencies as needed. That completes my report. If you have any questions.
Total on the fines.
Total of the fines. As of April 14, 2025, it's $20,998. $20,998. And then we have a lien that's going to be heard on the 10th of next month. And that also includes another $16,000.
$16,000 even.
Let me see. I don't have it with me. It's
the lien is.
Oh, here it is. Oh, I'm sorry, that's for the other property, item number two.
Okay, so no lien on the Flynn Road.
Also, I want to make a note. Yesterday, we received a call from a complainant, and we went out. Holly Felix went out and supervised, and she observed six more trucks leaving the property, entering and leaving the property. So that's going to be another 6,000 plus.
So we would expect more fines.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can. I have a few questions for staff, but I'll hold them for the later on. Oh, these pictures here that are dedicated and have no address or nothing, these are for the same parcel?
Yes, we just received those.
You just received these pictures?
Yes. And I'll go through some of the pictures. We'll show the pictures.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, we're still working.
Now you're going to see a lot of trucks and a lot of different dates, so I'm going to go pretty fast through them. Because basically the only thing that's going to change is the dates. This is a June 4th of 2024, when the first time I went out and did my site inspection. You can see he's depositing the soil there on June 4th. September 6th, 2024, I was actually down the street and I saw the trucks going up there on my way up there because I got a call on September 6th. And you'll just see a bunch of trucks going through. You can just go through 11/13/2024. November. You can go through. You can see where he has a sign. He had a sign that said trucks enter. So he's directing all the trucks up onto the property to deposit. And sometimes they'll come, two at a time, one at a time, but they're usually maybe a duration of about 15-20 minutes between trucks. Go ahead. November 26th, no trucks. Some are single, some are double. December 4th. January 14th. So, January 21st. This is when we did the site inspection with the property owner there. We showed this, the equipment and what he was doing, where he was grading it, where he was depositing all the soil.
But is there a permit already issued for grading?
No, there's never a permit issued for any grading or any soil importing. There's a bit of lag in the photos here. February 26, 2025. May 15th.
Michael, question for you.
Sure.
On the other side of the street, it looks like that's a lot of loose dirt there. Is that being dumped on too?
Well, he was grading the hillside. But some folks have said that he's deposited there and he's using it as like a transfer station to move it up onto his property.
But you didn't.
But the hillside was graded.
But you didn't observe that.
No. May 15th, May 30th.
What's the total acreage of the parcel?
It is.
160.
No, 160 at the.
Is that the last photo? It's the last photo. Thank you.
Yeah, that was taken yesterday.
So these are all the ones that you've taken.
Mm-hmm.
And then the addendum or the additional packet that you gave us are photos that were taken by a neighbor?
By a neighbor. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay. Is there anything you want to point out in here to us specifically before we open it up to public comment?
Those pictures that were submitted to us from the neighbor?
Yeah.
We did see a lot of concrete in there. We did see a lot of debris. We saw trees, tree branches. Looks like construction debris, plywoods, and a lot of soil, obviously.
I mean, there's a picture here that has a windmill, a bunch of trees or something right underneath it. Did that get buried or did that get, you don't know?
Well, that was just recently taken, so
oh.
It didn't get buried.
Oh.
All right. So all right. Frank, do you have any other questions?
I got a lot of them, but let's open the public hearing.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and open it to the public this time. Yeah, I didn't know if there's anybody online.
We have one raised hand.
Okay, why don't we go ahead and take that one first?
Okay. Jason and Heidi Reese. Jason, you're on. If you want to unmute yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. I just want to ask you if you'd have a chance to receive and read the letter that I had sent and that on my perspective of this.
Yes, your letter has been received.
Appreciate that. Just really don't have any further comments than that. I understand the parcel is only 87 acres. And I have observed this same activity on the smaller parcel on the left, more than just grading. So I would corroborate anybody's testimony on that.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. So-
and his name again?
Reese. Jason.
Okay, got this letter. Thanks.
Thank you.
Continue.
All right, so here in the room, first speaker is Karen Sweet.
Is that available to hear Jason's letter?
It's in the public packet. Yeah.
Good afternoon. We certainly appreciate the opportunity to meet in person. The Zoom is less than desirable in these places. And I too am a neighbor with Jason. He's two parcels away from the site. And those of us in the room have been watching this activity now since you have justified it. So I live uphill, 12233 Flynn Road North. And I certainly concur with Jason's well-stated letter. He covered most of the issues that we all have concern about. And particularly I support it because he's a soil scientist. And so he's aware of the geology and the issues related to the soil import. And while he's not a rancher, we have concerns as neighboring ranchers about the weed management that will be coming in with whatever, and who knows what was going to grow eventually through all the unknown soils, whether they're toxic or whatever. And we're concerned about both sides of the road, even though most of the photos were the trucks going into the north. He's resculpted both sides of the road. The hill, I'm sorry, we don't have a before picture where the one side of the road was just a natural occurring hill, and we're resculpturing now. I was on the Ag Advisory Committee at the time this ordinance was being developed, and our intent at that time was refining very carefully what's appropriate for normal agricultural use, and knowing that that ordinances will take care of the commercial ventures. And what I did have a question, I don't know if this dirt ever went to the landfill before it was started, the soil importing started to happen, but if it was part of the tipping fee issue and revenue to the county, I have no idea. But that was when I see how much dirt has been moved, it makes me wonder, should it have gone to the landfill, and would that have been revenue back to the county? But this neighbor is obviously non-compliant, and is certainly a nuisance to us in the neighborhood and the commuters who are using this road both times of the day, in and out, all, most of those hours, and the trucks are using those same times of the day. And the other concern I have is the potential project that he's building the flat up on top of the hill for. It's going to be non-compliant, I believe, with ag zoning, and as well as all the construction that's going to get there. And so certainly the regulatory agencies with the critters and so on, with CEQA down the road. So thank you. Those of us who are trying to comply with the ordinances certainly just like seeing something like this in the neighborhood. So thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is Eric Sweet.
Thank you for letting us all speak. I am also a resident on Flynn Road. I live 12221 North Flynn Road. You know, I am a sixth generation rancher there on the road. To reiterate, on the south side of the road, somebody notated there was some other debris in there, but long before the dirt was coming in, they were already digging a trench, and there was all kinds of stuff being dumped in there. And then it got, you could watch it get covered up, and then the dirt started coming in after the fact. So it was kind of like almost a second project that seemed to open up with. But Karen covered most of our concerns, but to reiterate the traffic on the road, you know, those roads, it's just a chip and seal road, and it's just been destroyed in places, causing a nuisance. But also, it's a tight curvy road, and those big semis, when you're coming around corners and those trucks are taking up both, they're in both lanes. And when you turn the corner, I have a teenage daughter that's also coming into town, going to and from, and it, you know, definitely is scary. The commuters, while it's a concern of theirs, but it's also forced commuters to pass unsafely these dump trucks that are exiting, because they'll also exit out onto South Flynn to North Flynn, and then on to 580. So they're coming out on the freeway. So a lot of those commuters then wind up passing. You come around the corner, and there's a commuter in one lane and the truck in the other lane, and they're both coming at you. So definitely a hazard in that regard, and somebody's going to get hurt and run off the road. So I think outside of that, I think everything else was covered.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Paul Palciano.
Hi, how you doing? I'm also a resident there, 11995 South Flynn Road. These are my neighbors, and we're all here because obviously this is the nuisance and inconvenience and an eyesore of what's going on here. This is our neighborhood, okay? I'm going to go in another direction with this. This is our neighborhood. We all live there. We're living there for a reason, because we enjoy our lifestyle. We're ranchers. And now all of a sudden, in the last 2 years, there's been, in my opinion, an unpermitted dump site going on there. There's a safety issues. I, like Eric and these people here, have family that drive up and down this road. And we got truck drivers coming up there that have no concern from anybody that's using that road. This is our neighborhood. This is like our street, like our cul-de-sac. We have to use this road day in and day out. And we're being, there's two women here that were verbally assaulted by drivers that are going to this landfill. And it's got to stop. At one point, it's got to stop. And we're looking to the county to help us, you know, control this problem. I mean, we already have people dumping their trash all over Flynn Road on the sides of the road. Now we have an actual landfill going on there. And it's time to stop it. We've had enough of it. And so, I mean, I'm sorry to get excited and you know, be forward with it, but I have to express the way we feel. I am sure all my neighbors here feel the exact same way that I do. We've been very patient. We've sent pictures in. We've done everything that we need to do on our part. And now it's time to get this stopped. And I mean, at this point, I have... The only other things I do have to say is I have a question on who are the loads that you're fining this individual for. Are they counted by just the times that you have a site visit?
Yes.
Okay, well, because you guys are losing a lot of money because there's a ton more trucks going in there than 7 and 5 and 6 and all that. I mean, it's every day. It's constant. There's 10 to 12 trucks going in there numerous times. So the county's losing a lot of money. There's a lot of other landfills there that pay royalties to the county and to the city for having trucks traverse all over their roads to help pay for, you know, to keep the road maintenance up. Whoever this gentleman is that has this landfill isn't contributing to the county. The county's losing a ton of money on this. So, I mean, again, until it's permitted, it has to stop. I mean, it has to stop. Thank you.
Thank you.
I got a question for you. Do you think, or do you find living up there that the trucks are going there Saturdays and Sundays also? I mean, it doesn't just.
It's sporadic on the weekends. Yes, they are there on the weekends, but it's sporadic. It's not like the work week. Obviously, there's dirt jobs going on. If you're familiar with construction, you know, there's people digging swimming pools. There's people doing construction jobs, and that's normally Monday through Friday. But yes, we have seen activity there on the weekends.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Kelly Abreu, are you for F1? Are your comments with F1? Okay.
So I don't live on the street. But I've been watching these dirt dumps for many years, and I've been watching how the county takes great care to have a narrow view. You know, we have the commission asking, what about across the street? And then the answer comes back, well, you know, there might be a little bit of trend. So if there are two dirt dumps, which across the street, they actually observed a mountain of dirt that popped up. And if you look at the it wasn't there in 2018. So we've got a new mountain of dirt and across the street. Why aren't these two cases combined? There's two parcels, two separate cases. Why not combine the two? Or why don't you have a case for across the street? What are you waiting for across the street? There's a mountain there. You know, go enforce that. The county's viewpoint, you know, if it were traffic, if it were a red light, they would have cameras there. They could set up a camera and they could take pictures of people running red lights. Why can't you put up cameras and take pictures of every truck that goes in and out and then charge them for every truck day and night? And the narrow view, it's not just about what's going on. It's a narrow view in time. If you look on satellite views and go back, the county can go look at Google, but they don't. They don't show you how big these things are and what was happening 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 3 years ago. No, nobody knows. It just it all started a year ago. According to that timeline, the Earth began and Genesis began and 1 year ago. It's a joke. If this thing, the operations were going on a long time ago, and then they ramped up just like the neighbors saw happening. And then the county itself hires airplanes and goes out every few years and takes pictures of every square inch of this county. And they have it on their, you know, databases and scientifically loaded. And why don't we see those pictures? You have the pictures. You took the pictures. And why aren't we seeing? And then they go back every many years. So why aren't we seeing the county's own records? Why is your records production so selective and so narrow? And let's see. Yeah, the across the street one is just ridiculous. What are you going to do? Come back in 2 months or in 2 years and say, oh, we just now have another case across the street. Oh, we did this one across. You know, this is why they come in your lawyers, they kind of combine cases in courts and they just do one big case. They don't do six little cases.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any other public comments that I don't have? All right. So I'm going to close the public comment period. Frank, do you have any questions for staff? Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. You've seen the pictures in this with the I mean, we're talking raw garbage here. We're not talking debris. I mean, this is garbage in these pictures. Now, here again, Michael, did you take these?
No, I didn't.
Someone else did. Okay. And so then, I mean, when this. The rubble and the concrete and all this trees. I mean, obviously it's in this picture and the background shows it's the parcel. The pictures don't lie. I mean, it's obviously the place. I almost can't believe that what's going on here. And I know your hands are tied because you can't enter the property. So one is trees and debris. I guess that has to be removed. The concrete should be removed. The road failure. Obviously, that road it's I don't know if it's chipped and sealed, but I mean it's a country road. I mean the heaviest, you know, maybe a load of hay or a load of cattle maybe once or twice a year go up and down this road, but not trucks like this that are loaded hauling dirt. So the county needs to be aware of the road failure, and if there's a fix to be involved, that should be assessed maybe to us fine, you know. And then we talk about, you know, the reason why we went with a dirt dumping ordinance, because we didn't want contaminated soil. We don't want contaminated soil to interrupt our water and our groundwater where people live up there have wells. It's not like we're on city water. We don't have pipes, however they live, but there's well water, and that could be a huge problem. It's not going to happen today or tomorrow. It's going to happen in 10, 15, 20 years, and all of a sudden there's arsenic or lead in their water, and they're going to, well, where'd this happen? Well, someone must have maybe dumped some dirt up there that was bad. So that needs to be looked at real carefully. All the regulatory agencies need to be informed, not just you guys. I mean, you guys are doing a good job for all the hours that you put into this. It's a 2-year case. I also think that years ago, Nate's chief of staff, help me out here, she was code enforcement. Her name was
Tona.
Tona worked weekends, and I think she did a good job. She didn't work every weekend, but she was out there, you know, looking at things on weekends. I think that needs to be looked at with this county. Sheriff's Department obviously has to be notified. I mean, if there's trucks on a road that has a weight limit that's getting ruined, they need to be out there. They need to be notified. I think at the end of the day, obviously it's illegal, obviously that there's some problems, but if I'm right on this, this thing's been going on for 2 years. When you're on a project working for, I'm just going to use the city of San Francisco or Oakland or whoever, and that project isn't going the way that your bid is or the way it was in the contract, they put a stop notice. And that stop notice has consequences to who's doing the work. So has the county put a stop notice on this to stop this project immediately, like tomorrow or yesterday? And that would be another question.
That's brilliant.
Okay. And then cameras, I guess, would be a great way to generate some more fines. I think Fremont has like, I don't know, 15 red light cameras. The county has them on Pleasanton Snow Road. They just put two in cameras, so on dumping. So here again, you wouldn't have to have it somewhere, but you could have it on the road and it would trigger a truck coming and going. Anyway, there's my question.
Let's let him answer. I heard at least one definitive question.
Yes, other agencies have been notified. CHP has pulled over trucks that are driving up there. One truck, they stated that they received a letter from the county stating that they could deposit items up on that property, which it was never granted. We never granted access or gave them permission to go up there and drop anything.
Where did they produce the letter from?
CHP pulled over a truck for a violation. Truck driver said, they asked where he was going and what they had. He said, I'm going up to this address and this is what I have. And he gave them the letter.
But the letter was, do we know the source of the letter?
It came from the driver. That's all I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Ian, where was it? 10 of the letter coming from?
Property owner. But again, this is all third-party information, so I can't.
Oh, I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
So the letter that's in question here, how did you obtain it?
We got it from CHP.
Yeah, but the letter itself would provide the driver with the impression that it was allowed
permission. Yeah, from the county,
and so. That letter looks like it was written by the county.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we believe it's fraudulent.
Yes.
Okay.
So we have a fraudulent letter, and has county council seen this?
Yes.
So when something's fraudulent like this, like a letter that's being faked, where are we at on this? I mean,
we just received it.
Okay. So we'll take that up.
Just recently.
So make note of that. We'll take that up with our recommendations.
Well, I want to know
Okay, well, you maybe
go ahead.
County.
So where are we at with that? Let's just use this for example, the letter. The
letter itself doesn't have much bearing on the case before you.
Okay.
The code enforcement case. And certainly the notion that there's a falsified county document being presented to drivers to justify what they're doing is concerning. And we will look in
public record, can that be shared right now?
With
the letter?
The letter.
With who do you want to share it with?
I want to see the letter.
He wants it on
record. I want it on public record. I want it on the minutes. I want to see this letter.
I think, Michael, you showed it to the mm-hmm. board members.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. And then it's part of the record.
Okay. So my problem is when my name's on that letter and the county's letterhead, that's a huge problem for me.
I agree.
Huge problem. And I would expect county council or whoever to put an end to this rather quickly. And I know what just happened today, but you understand how pissed off I am?
Yes, we do work.
Especially when I see my name on it and not my signature.
Yeah, completely taken, couldn't be taken more seriously.
So,
I'm not sure.
So you're going
to. That's huge to me.
You're going
to. That's better than all the dirt in the world.
You're going to take appropriate action on that and perhaps get back to Frank and let him know how
absolutely
it resolved.
Okay. All right. That's huge. All right.
I understand.
All right.
I agree. Okay. So thank you for your report.
Yes.
and all the work that you've been doing on this. We're hearing from the neighbors who have lots of observation on this. This has been going on longer than what you have, but that's because you're reacting to a report that came into you, right? A complaint came into you and you started acting.
Yes.
June of 2024.
Yes.
That's why this is now coming to us. You have modified your resolution to include some of the concerns that you have, Frank. They are going to be requesting a geotechnical investigation for soil stability and safety. They want a method of abatement, and they also want environmental assessment and testing for soil and field cleanliness, free of hazardous chemicals and materials, which is to your point about the long-term contamination risk. Are you satisfied with what's been?
I think the trees need to be removed. The concrete needs to be removed. We don't need to have barrier concrete that actually, and if you remember anyone here on staff, when they grinded the concrete on 580, they were dumping it on Greenville and up Collier Canyon, and that was sampled, and they found not lead,
asbestos?
No, it was mercury. Mercury's in concrete. And the concrete juice that they ground all that concrete on 580 showed up. And there was two locations and he removed it all. They had to make it a clean site, but it was mercury that they found in that. So, I mean, I'm not a chemist and I'm not a whatever you want to call it, but that needs to be addressed.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
And I mean removal.
Yes, Frank, I'm asking you. So we're going to be voting on this resolution in front of us. Are you satisfied with what the staff is presenting to us that will address your concerns about contamination? So they're going to be requiring the hiring of a licensed professional for full evaluation and site testing of the site, including a written report with detailed analysis and recommendations for abatement procedure to be provided to the county within a month, 30 days. And they're going to do all these things that I believe you're concerned about. I want to make sure that this language is going to satisfy your concern.
I think we should be working up there on weekends, and I think the sheriff should be notified. Is that going to be in a motion? We can put this in a motion. This is what we're working towards.
Well, we are going to have a motion about this resolution.
And then we're going to add to it.
We can add to it if we want to. Right now, Rue and I are in discussion.
Yeah, I know.
I want to make sure.
I see this resolution.
I want to make sure that what we're voting on is satisfying both of our concerns. I have the same concerns that you do. I think the one question I had for you is this information about the parcel across the street. Is that parcel owned by the same owner?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So since you observed violation there, are you opening a case on that part?
I did open a case.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so that's pertinent to us.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you might, because both those, he was using one as a transfer station, you might in your resolution say cease all activity immediately. That would include both parcels.
Okay, it would entail both parcels.
Well, it would stop him from bringing soil to, you know, the smaller parcel to take for the large parcel.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
So to the attorney, what authority do we have for immediate cease and desist? I mean, they've been racking up letters. They've been notified for a year that they're in violation, and they've continued with the activity. So the threat of fines and fees obviously is not a deterrent. So what authority do you have to invoke a complete cease and desist, which means maybe putting a chain up over the property? I don't know. How do you stop the trucks from coming in? Physically stop them from coming in? I mean, I'm asking. I don't know.
I would defer to code enforcement first on that. I'm sure that they've potentially interacted or seen this is a situation like this before, but then I can add additional.
Okay, thank you.
I think Ed's on the phone. Always.
So the question is, how do you ensure that they actually stop the activity, because we have a record of over a year's worth of letters and violations and fines being assessed, but it has not deterred the activity.
I'm going to check with my supervisor and see if he's on the. Yeah.
Hello, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Ed Labayo, Alameda County Code Enforcement Manager. Yeah, so I know that Michael has worked hard on this case. We're trying to build up this case to escalate to a point where we can have some kind of action, like an injunction, for example, to get that order. Because even if we went there and chained the gates, that's, you know, unless you have a security guard standing there, they're just going to break the chains and stuff like that. So we're trying to build up this case enough to give us the enough evidence and process that we've already went through fines and fees. We took it to a hearing. That might be the next step up. We're still collaborating with our counsel, and we're also poised and ready to. And we have already alerted the district attorney's office and all other agencies that could also do some enforcement on this. So we're kind of ramping up our action, and this is a stepping stone for us to do that.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate that. So our action today will set the stage for more forceful action to actually stop the activity. Is that okay? Thank you. Okay, so Frank says that he does not have a copy of your amended resolution.
Unless.
Yeah, it's that. That's it.
But this is.
Yeah, it's got the post note on.
Lynn's office set.
Oh, I see. You're backwards. I get it. I understand.
So you have this in front of you.
Yes.
So, so thank you for the clarification on that.
I would just say, may I just
one? Yes, please.
You know, staff has recommended fines and fees in accordance with the ordinance for every truck. The ordinance also allows fines for every day a violation persists. Now we're talking about some real money.
Okay.
So that is within your purview. It's not mandatory. It says you may assess those fines, but it's in your toolbox.
What is that?
Right. It's $1,000 a day for every day that the violation exists.
But that would go back to June of 2024.
At least.
That's a lot of thousands. Okay. Frank, are you ready for a motion?
Yeah, ready for a motion.
So let me open this up for discussion with you. I'm thinking we should amend the resolution to include fines for every day that the violation has been known by enforcement. That would go back to June 4th of 2024. That'd be $1,000 a day going back to June 4th of 2020.
Yep, but are we going to put this in a motion?
Well, I wanted to discuss this first.
Yes.
This to be so that we can get it down to a clear and succinct motion. Would you rather
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Rather I do the motion first?
No. Go ahead. Break it down like you're going to do.
Okay. Well, that's all I have is I want to amend. I would like to amend this resolution.
I see the bottom part here.
So what you're looking for is that new paragraph he added.
Yes. And with that.
And it goes on the back too. And it has to be done within 30 days. And so is there a repercussion if they do not perform within the 30 days? I think you're going to be requesting this licensed professional full evaluation and testing. What happens if they don't deliver within 30 days?
Then we go back to the process that we have right now and look towards other avenues to, like Ed spoke about.
So maybe it goes to injunction. Now it's going to go to a court of law. Okay.
Okay.
Ready for my motion?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So I move that we accept the resolution with an amendment to apply fines $1,000 a day from the start of the violation is our knowledge of it, which was June 4th of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So all this plus that.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this motion, but when it says assessment free of hazardous chemicals, would you put the concrete and the tree debris in that, or does that have to be added to this?
No, it's going to get tested.
Yeah, it'd be included in that.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that
doesn't is free of
hazardous. Basically, everything that was dumped there doesn't fit when you really look at it, because it's not.
But even if he had some,
but again, we haven't assessed it.
Had original contamination on the soil before anything got dumped there, it's going to get
right. Okay. All right. So with that motion.
Do I have a second?
Yeah, my second.
Oh, excuse me. May I chime in?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. So I just wanted to make sure that if you impose $1,000 a day that it we'll be able to do that, because our notices, when we do our inspection notices, we've only charged them for the inspection on that day that we're there, and $1,000 per truckload that we see, we have not included in our failed inspection notices that we have been charging them $1,000 a day. It may be, as a suggestion, reasonable to start $1,000 a day if they fail to abide by your abatement order. So after 30 days, they don't give us anything, then the $1,000 a day clock will start ticking there. We can back that up with a notice. We can say that you have not abided by the order of the BZA. Your $1,000 is starting now, and it will only stop until you perform all the requirements. So that will also give us enough ammunition to move the case further.
Well, I appreciate that, but I believe that we have the authority to impose fees going back to the beginning of the violation. Right?
I think that would be the aggressive approach.
Yeah.
If it turns out that because of some noticing issue, some fines need to be waived. Okay.
I would like to take the action to be as aggressive on this as we can.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. It wasn't noticed.
Yeah. Well,
but we have the authority to go retroactive.
Yeah. So if you decide to go that route, we have to prepare a letter saying that you're now being charged X amount of dollars since the violation was confirmed, and they will have a right to appeal that.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. They can appeal as mm-hmm. state lines.
Okay, well, you got a second.
I guess we're ready for a vote.
Just to be clear, on the fines being levied per day, those will continue into the future until
that's
fully
right.
abated.
Yes,
I think that's
right.
Absolutely
just
right.
Wasn't clear in the
okay,
well, and that could be brought up in another hearing where he's actually making progress in cleaning it up. It could be changed, but as of now, it's not going to be. But there's the catalyst to get moving.
So my motion's clear. Okay. I think we're ready for a vote.
Vice Chair Susan?
Yes.
Member Imhoff?
Yes.
Motion passes 2-0.
Thank you.
All right. We got another one.
All right. Moving on to F2, which is the Grant Line Road Mountain House.
Yes, I have it. I have it on top now.
Item number 2 is in regards to the property located at 16500 Grant Line Road, Mountain House, California, 95391, APN number 99B-7750-3-6. The violation of Alameda County Zoning Ordinance, Soil Reporting Ordinance 17.06, 17.66, 17.54.010, 17.02.130. So only important onto the property, the parcel without an administrative conditional use permit and or a conditional use permit. The pertinent facts are as follows. On August 30th, 2024, staff prepared an appointment letter to be sent to the property owner by regular and certified mail to meet at the property on September 11th, 2024. September 11th, 2024, staff met with the property owner at the property. Staff explained the soil importing ordinance prohibiting importing soil onto the parcel, and the property owner would have to submit a soil importing application. Staff gave the property owner a copy of the ordinance and the soil importing application. On September 12, 2024, staff prepared a soil importing violation letter that was sent to the property address and the mailing address by regular and certified mail. On September 25, 2024, staff conducted a site inspection and the violation was still present. On September 27, 2024, staff prepared a fines and fees letter that was sent to the property address, the mailing address by regular and certified mail. On October 30th, 2024, staff conducted a site inspection and the violation was still present. On November 1st, 2024, staff prepared a fines and fees letter that was sent to the property address and the mailing address by regular and certified mail. On November 6th, 2024, staff conducted a site inspection and the violation was still present. Staff observed five trucks entering the property. On November 8th, 2024, staff prepared a fines and fees letter that was sent to the property address and the mailing address by regular certified mail. On February 24th, 2024, staff conducted a site inspection. The violation was still present. Staff observed nine trucks entering the property. On February 26, 2024, staff prepared a fines and fees letter that was sent to the property address and mailing address by regular certified mail. On April 8th of 2025, staff conducted a site inspection and the violation was still present. Staff observed 13 trucks entering the property. On April 10th, 2025, staff prepared a fines and fees letter that was sent to the property address and mailing address by regular and certified mail. On May 13th, 2025, staff conducted a site inspection and the violation was still present. Staff observed 11 trucks entering the property. On May 15th, 2025, staff prepared a fines and fees letter that was sent to the property address and the mailing address by regular and certified mail. On June 2nd, 2025, staff conducted a site inspection. The violation was still present. Staff observed four trucks entering the property. On June 4th of 2025, staff prepared a fines and fees letter and administrative hearing notice to be sent to the property address and the mailing address by regular and certified mail. On June 11th, 2025, staff prepared an amended administrative hearing notice that was sent to the property address and a mailing address by regular and certified mail. Previous violations at the property, no. Contact with the property owner, yes. The property owner is not, or the property is not vacant. Staff recommendation clear that the property is in violation of Alameda County zoning ordinance, soil importing, and therefore a public nuisance and require abatement within 30 days and continue fines and fees. That's an error on there. It says 10 days, but it should be 30 days. I'll show the following photos here. This is taken from Grantline up on the hill. You can see the side of his property. You can see all the soil that he brought in on September 11th, 2024. You can see the trucks dumping it there. This is a truck that you just saw dumping the soil. I came down and set up because I was coming from the opposite direction. I was coming from Byron direction. So that's September 11th as the truck is leaving the property, the one you just saw. September 25th, I went back out to the property. You can see they had graded the soil mounds onto the rest of it. You can see a different color of soil. October 30th, you can see a truck entering there, the gates locked. And then they came down on the side-by-side there. You can see the trucks lining up. There's two right there to unlock the gate for them to come in. And we'll go back one. Yeah, you can see that they're escorting the trucks up the driveway to the property there on the side-by-side on October 30th. And then again, mounds of soil deposited by the trucks that were entering the property on October 30th. They've got excavation equipment up there moving the soil around on October 30th. You can see the water truck there.
Go back to that picture. Quick question for you. Sure. It looks like that's a light stand behind that cattle trailer, right? With lights, like three-way lights, you know, when they're working at night. Does that mean that goes on at night?
I'm not sure. I don't know if those are lights. It may be, but I'm not sure. My camera's not that good. It doesn't zoom in that far. Some excavation equipment, again, taking a soil that's been dropped from the trucks, moved it to other areas so it can be graded on November 6th. November 6th, the truck, you know, leaving up, getting ready to prepare to drop the soil. There it is, dropping the soil. November 6th, another angle of the trucks going up the driveway. February 24th, trucks entering the property. And another truck on 24th, another truck. And then more trucks going up on the 24th. Again, trucks for the following other trucks on the way up there. Some loads are tarped so we can't see what's in the back, and some aren't. So you can see the dirt there. Still February 24th. I think there was 13 trucks on February 10th. April 8th. Four trucks. That's the property owner there.
This property owner never submitted any application.
No. And more trucks going up there on April 8th. More trucks on April 8th. Again, I think there were 13 trucks on April 8th. May 13th.
Did this all appear to be soil and not like construction debris?
It all appeared to be soil. Again, you can see from these trucks the soil that's in the back of the trucks. Some of them are tarp, so you can't see it. May 13th, some of the trucks. June 2nd. Multiple trucks on June 2nd. And here he is coming down, locking the gates. I think he saw me out there taking photos. Although I'm pretty far away, I can zoom in the camera. And then the trucks came with the gate locked. And they waited a little while, and then they left. Because at that point, he had already received our notices for the hearing. Yep. And then the trucks left. That concludes my report. If you have any questions, I'll answer those.
Thank you.
No, I just think this is it's pretty simple because we just went over it for an hour. So.
Well, let's see. Do we have any public comment online?
There are no raised hands.
Thank you. And I have no cards.
Oh. Question for staff. How many legal dump sites are there in the county?
One. Oh, legal dump sites or soil importing?
Legal.
Importing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One.
And that's in Sonoma?
On Koopman.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, Frank, any?
I don't have any questions because we can just put these questions to this. Yeah. This makes it like cut and dried. If you can, this is about as easy as it's going to get.
You want amend this motion, this resolution? Is this for F2?
Yeah.
All right. So I do have a request to speak for item F2. So we'll open public comment. Kelly Abreu.
So stuff is happening in at least two places and probably many, 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 many more. And it's all the same stuff, but instead of just wondering what's going on all over the place, like I said before, the county has imagery, huge amounts of data. And what they don't do is they don't look at it, they don't pull up the data. And then they have no method of analyzing the imagery. It's like a scientific thing. If you lack the capacity or this is a new idea for you, go to Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. They have people there who are like scientists and they know how these things work. And you can actually look at there are automated methods of analyzing data and finding out, you know, what's going on. When a mountain appears, you don't have to just go, you know, find out 6 years later and say, oh, wow, mountain appeared 6 years ago. 6 years ago, we never noticed until somebody called us up on the phone. Thank you.
Thank you. 40 years. No other comments, then I'm going to close public comment and we'll go back to mission. Anything?
If it's in... I'm waiting for this motion. It's going to be simple. We're going to duplicate everything that we just said on.
So he has, this resolution does include the professional full evaluation. My question to you is, did you want to modify this to include the $1,000 fine per day?
Has he tried to work with you guys? Has he paid, has he dealt with you? And
I've only met one time. In the very beginning, the exact date, it was 9/11/2024. He was pretty upset with me trying to stop his soil import at that time. So we didn't exchange, we didn't have a long conversation.
But he's never submitted an application?
No, we've never had any contact since then.
Well, it's hard not to do what we just did, and these pieces are, I don't know, 10 miles away, 15 miles away. I mean, it's like they're really close, so it duplicates the first one, and that's
okay, so then the motion would be to accept your resolution with the amendment to apply an additional fee of a penalty of $1,000 a day dating back to August 30th,
2020. Okay. So moved.
And seconded, so we can go for both.
Okay. Vice Chair Souza?
Yes.
Member Emhoff?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0.
Thank you. All right, moving on to alcohol beverage sale administration hearing.
There are no alcohol beverage sales items.
Okay. Motion to approve the previous minutes.
Second.
Vice Chair Souza?
Yes.
Member Emhoff?
Yeah.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Minutes are approved. How about consent calendar?
There are no items on the consent calendar.
All right. And moving to the regular calendar, we have the elections of a chair, vice chair, and I would ask that we continue that until we commission some Chair Eddie's back. Is that okay?
Yes.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Thank you. And then item number two is the informational update on approved general plan amendment for zoning ordinance amendments to promote visitor serving uses of the Southland Valley area of planning.
Yeah, this Alice Neighbors is here to present the decent changes.
Hi there, good afternoon. I'm Allie Average, senior planner, new planning department. It's good to be here. I'm sorry, I do have copies. Mm-hmm. Do you mind? They're copied in the PowerPoint.
Yeah, I was
Thank you, Michael. I got it. All right.
Again, I'm Allie Haversheim. Good to meet you. So I'm here with an informational update about approved general plan and zoning ordinance amendments to promote visitor serving uses in South Livermore Valley. So the purpose of this presentation, recent amendments to the general ordinance code section 17.30.170.8.2 grant the East PCA authority to approve CUPs for visitor serving commercial uses on parcels that are subject to a clustering plan under a newly added section of that ordinance. So this presentation is intended to familiarize your board with the new provisions to assist you with review of future permit applications. So a bit of general information and background. The 1994 ECAP incorporated the 1993 South Livermore Valley Area Plan in its entirety. The primary ECAP land use designation for the South Livermore Valley is large parcel agriculture, and most of that South Livermore Valley Area Plan is zoned ACA, so that's agriculture with a cultivated agriculture combining district. And the primary function of that CA combining district is to provide subdivision opportunities to promote viticulture and allow more intensive residential and visitor serving development. And a note that under Measure D-2000, the Board of Supervisors may amend the ECAP policies pertaining to the South Livermore Valley, excluding a few provisions. So these approved amendments that we're going to talk about today allow for clustering of buildings on parcels in the South Livermore Valley Area Plan's ACA district within that district to facilitate the development of visitor-serving commercial facilities to encourage tourism in the area to support a thriving wine industry and encourage the expansion of vineyards and other cultivated ag. And just so we're all on the same page about what we're talking about, here is the South Livermore Valley. That light green, so the dark green is the South Livermore Valley Area Plan, and the light green is the CA Combining District. So they're not exactly the same, but very similar. Just wanted to provide that context as well. So a bit about the timeline for adoption. On May 8th of this year, the board adopted a resolution adopting amendments to ECAP to promote those visitor serving uses in the South Livermore Valley and adopted an addendum to the 1993 South Livermore Valley Area Plan EIR as the appropriate CEQA document. And they also conducted a first reading of the ordinance that I'm here to discuss today, which we'll go into a little bit later. And then at their June 12th hearing, they conducted the second reading and adopted those ordinance amendments. And those will take effect in 30 days from that action, which is July 12th. So, So a key part of the approved ECAP amendments is a new program, which is currently called Program 141. And that establishes the parameters for cluster developments under the South Livermore Valley Area Plan. Under Program 141, for each 20-acre increment of the total acreage included in a clustering plan, the development can include a 2-acre building envelope with a home site, including a residence and residential accessory uses, and visitors serving commercial uses not to exceed 20,000 square feet. Under these changes, all visitors serving commercial uses must be contained within a 2-acre building envelope. Hotels that are included in this clustering or in a clustering plan must also be located within a building envelope, but the building envelope in which a hotel is located may be larger than 2 acres. An agricultural conservation easement must be placed on all parcels within a clustering plan, and at least 90% of the acreage of those parcels containing visitors serving commercial uses need to be planted and maintained in cultivated ag for as long as those visitor serving uses are in operation. Program 141 also clarifies that Program 136 in ECAP, which applies to urban development, does not apply to development under Program 141. So some additional amendments, which are ECAP-wide. There was a correction for Program 34 to the header to have it clustering consistent with the voter-approved language in Measure D, and an edit to Policy 81, deleting wineries, which are agricultural processing facilities, as an example of visitor-serving commercial facilities, and adding tasting rooms instead as a list of examples, or to the list of examples. And then applicable only in the South Livermore Valley, program 125 was also edited to delete wineries. So similar to the above, to delete wineries and add tasting rooms as examples of appropriate commercial uses to and to clarify the types of lodging establishments allowed and to recognize the sewer as a wastewater service option. So on to these zoning amendments. These are amendments to zoning ordinance section 1730-170. That's that CA combining district section. These again allow connection to the sewer or septic. They exempt undeveloped parcels under a clustering plan from the planting requirement. And they add new permitted visitors serving commercial uses, including hotel with up to 140 guest rooms, event space, et cetera. Actually, I have another slide. Let's see, I have another slide on that, so I'll wait to go on more on that in a second. So the new zoning ordinance allows for clustering of buildings, building envelopes on a parcel or adjacent parcels in the CA combining district, subject to a clustering plan that would be approved by the planning director, and that's consistent with program 141. And it also prohibits the county from requiring subdivision for clustering plans. So this amendment adds a substantial number of new visitor serving commercial uses under subdivision F in section 1730-170. And these are uses that would be allowed with the approval of a conditional use permit by your board. So I decided I'd go ahead and list all of them on the slide and just, you know, pull out a few. So we have hot air balloon rides, we have truffle hunts, we have trail hikes, and that 140 guest room hotel. And then at the bottom, other small scale recreational uses found by your board to be consistent with the intent of the South Livermore Valley Area Plan. And I just wanted to include a note on the limitations of the CEQA analysis. So as I mentioned, this is an addendum to that 1993 South Livermore Valley Area Plan EIR, which assumed 180,000 square feet of total new visitor serving commercial uses in the vineyard area of the South Livermore Valley Area Plan. A recent survey found that 30,000 square feet of such uses had already been developed, which leaves only a remainder of 150,000 that are assumed to have been analyzed under CEQA. So that establishes a limit of the cumulative analysis of that CEQA document. And I believe that's all I've got for you. I'm happy to take questions. And also Liz McGilligott, my supervisor, is on the phone.
Oh, great.
There's a lot of history on this, so she's happy to answer questions too.
Very good, thank you. Questions? No questions for Liz? Hi, Liz. I have no questions. I'm very familiar.
Yeah, I thought you were.
So thank you. But this is now what we'll be making a decision.
A few times. This isn't the first time we've heard it.
Right. Very good. Great.
I got a question for staff. Is it either we talked about this or I heard about it in town that the sewer line did get approved down Tesla to Greenville?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's up to
Greenville. And that now that it's approved, when will that go in?
It's in design right now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Oh, it's happening.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to open up the public comment period. Mr. Abreu, you would like to make some comments about this item?
Yeah. So, this had very little opposition because people were generally supportive because it was the South Livermore Valley area. So everybody is very happy to do more development in the South Livermore Valley area. And if, except for the parts where it is, you know, mixing up wineries with tasting rooms outside that area, then it becomes problematic because the South Livermore Valley area has better facilities for development, better roads, better infrastructure, better everything. And so that's where the development should be going. And then this the hoopla over getting this passed, and then when it was passed, the hoopla was shows a structural problem with how the county is set up, how the county structure it works. Now, in a normal organization, when the organization puts out a statement or a press release, it comes from some department or something that's in charge of public communications or something. Now, the county, Alameda County, doesn't have that department. So everyone's like confused. In fact, GSA has their own little press site with their own press releases and different. So people can put out their own press releases whenever they feel like it, seems like. It's the Wild West when it comes to public communications at Alameda County and outside Alameda County. Now, the county is so big that it has thousands of employees and different agencies, and some agencies are legally separate. Like the fire department is legally separate from the county, and other agencies are legally separate. So it's very confusing, but there's another agency out there, which, you know, and the county is so big and so it's like an octopus. And so people who are standing on the next to the octopus can get confused. They think they're part of the county family. They think they're part of the government. And why do I say that? Why would I say that people are confused? They think that they are the county. Now, they're not, but they think they are. And this is a press release. So I'm going to call them out here. One of them is the Tri-Valley Conservancy. Everybody loves them. County loves them. They think they help the county. County helps them. Great. Fine. But they're not the county. The Tri-Valley Conservancy, I'm here to tell you, is not the county. But they put out a press release on June 13th that said, well, I'm assuming it came from them, but it says by press release, comma, Alameda County Board of Supervisors. Period. That's it. And then when I went to the Board of Supervisors and said, who's your contact person for this? Who put this out? Who put this out, this press release? So they'll see this. They published it on the internet. And they said, they were confused because they didn't write it. County didn't put this out. This is it's fine. You know, the content is fine. I'm happy that they passed the South Livermore Abbott Valley Area Plan. But the problem is that the county, everyone can't be part of the county family. And people have to know their place. Stay in your lane. You know, I'm not a government employee, and so are not a lot of other people, and they need to stop pretending like they are.
Thank you. No other comments, no comments online?
No other comments.
Then I will close public comment on that item, and I think we've concluded that.
Yep.
Okay. Moving on to number three, which is conditional use permit renewal for Verizon.
Oh, yes, item number three is for PLN 2025-59, the renewal of a conditional use permit for Verizon Wireless for a telecommunications facility at 4845 Arroyo Road in Livermore. And Rollins Melly is here to present that application.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. I'm Maral Ismaili, and I'm presenting a conditional use permit renewal. The applicant is requesting renewal of an existing conditional use permit with PLN number 2012-00006 that expired on February 28, 2023. To allow the continued operation of Verizon Wireless telecommunication facility located on an existing PG&E electric tower with no change. This proposal is exempt from the provisions of California Environmental Quality Act, Section 15301, existing facilities. The applicant is proposing to continue to operate a telecommunication facility for Verizon located on the PG&E tower for another 10 years. Approval of this permit authorized the continued operation of the previous CUP for Verizon telecommunication facility and future occasional 6409 permit updates to the technology. The decision is for East Board of Zoning Adjustment to approve the conditional use permit renewal. The parcel is planted in a vineyard with natural wooden corridors dividing the property into several irregular sections. The surroundings area are featured vineyards, wooden hillside given to grazing and recreation trails, and outdoor recreation facilities such as golf courses. Lands within the city of Livermore lie to the north across Watermore Road, as well as large operate Sycamore Grove Park to the east. And the conditional use permit renewal is a pre-request for processing the pending 6409 application submitted by Verizon for minor modification to the facilities, which is pending with PLN number 2025-00057, which has been placed on hold for a decision on this CUP renewal. The facility features 6 8-foot panel antennas and 6 duplexer mounted onto a 12-tube top hat extension on the existing PG&E transmission tower with a fence in equipment area directly below the tower. No extension of the ground areas or increase in height is proposed as part of the CUP renewal. These elevations also depict the 6409 Verizon proposed antennas in both views of northeast and southeast directions, which again is on hold for the acceptance and approval of the CUP. And here you can see two different street views of the subject property that show the PG&E tower with the existing and proposed antennas for the recent 6409 application. The proposed application needs to comply with both East County Area Plan and Alameda County Development Standards for setting telecommunication facilities. The property is designated as Large Parcel Agriculture. Policy 13 of East County Area Plan encourages infrastructure in the East County to serve the rural areas. Also, according to the zoning ordinance of agriculture and with cultivated agriculture overlay, which does not separately refer to telecommunication facilities, but appropriate standards for the facility are found in Alameda County Development Standards for setting of telecommunications facilities. According to Alameda County Development Standards, Policy A2, telecommunication facilities are allowed to continue. The operation is screened aesthetically and is properly for conforming with the surrounding neighborhood, as well as minimizing the potential visual block for views for the public and neighbors due to the location blending into the existing PG&E transmission tower. So staff recommend to East County Board of Zoning Adjustment to approve the conditional use permit for another 10-year period for the this CUP renewal, which is for processing with the pending 6409 application submitted by Verizon for minor modifications to the facility as detailed in proposed drawings dated on September 19, 2024. This 6409 application has been placed on hold, and the staff are ready for any questions if there is any, and the applicant is also online within our online attendee. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Any public comment?
There are no hands raised. The applicant is online, but has not raised his hand.
Okay. Do we need to talk to the applicant? Okay. So your recommendation is to approve?
Yeah. Motion, yeah.
So I move that we accept their recommendation.
Second.
Vice Chair Souza?
Yes.
Member Imhoff?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. All right. Item K, staff comments and correspondence.
There are no additional staff comments or correspondence.
Thank you. Any board announcements, comments, or reports?
Yes. Comments.
Just one for me, staff comment, sorry.
Oh yes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I need to do a Brown Act training for you all.
Okay.
Just at your next hearing.
Okay.
Maybe, I mean, we could theoretically do elections in a Brown Act thing, make it an all process day next month or something.
Okay.
But just to let you, make you aware, we'll do a little Brown Act training.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Put that in your schedule. And,
yeah, you'll get that schedule.
And as far as comments on that case that we heard earlier, the DA's office is going to know or going to find out what happened with this letter and on and on and on, correct?
Let me coordinate internally county counsel's office. You know, there's, you know, civil actions that can be taken, civil injunctions. There are also criminal injunctions that could potentially be taken depending on whether the ordinance permits that. We have to find grounds for any potential criminal actions or injunctions, penalties. So we'll look at what's available, what's in the toolbox, work with code enforcement's attorney. I'm actually not code enforcement's attorney, I'm your attorney. But I'll chat with them and see, you know, what's in the toolbox, and just know that, you know, urgency is apparent for us on this one.
And you'll keep Frank O'Brien.
Of course. Yeah.
Great.
You know, I was a planning commissioner for 12 years for two different supervisors, and I've never heard of and seen anything like this. This is just, it's almost unbelievable.
It's pretty cool.
So yeah, something needs to happen. It has to happen fast. All right. With that, that's all I have.
Then I'm going to.
I was going to motion for adjournment.
Oh, second.
There you go.
Adjourn.
Thank you, staff.